Welcome to another edition of The Last Negroes at Harvard. I'm Kent Garrett, and I'm joined by John Woodford. This podcast is about being Black in America for over 80 years. It is Monday, April 22nd. As we write this podcast, Donald Trump appears to be significantly winning in the 2024 presidential race. Sports analyst and commentator Stephen A. Smith has a message for Black people and for Democrats. It is a message we should all listen to. Time now is 8:20, and we are joined by John Woodford. Hey there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you? Well, listen, let's move on to presidential politics, and we have a many people listened over the weekend to commentary from a sportscaster, Stephen A. Smith, and he has some important warnings, I guess, for Black folks and Democrats. So let's take a listen, and then we'll talk on the other side.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Stephen A. Smith Show right here over the digital airwaves of YouTube. Let me move on to some of you annoying asses and just get this out the way. And obviously, I'm talking about Donald Trump. I was a guest on Fox News' Sean Hannity show last night to discuss the upcoming election, the trial, and Trump. Some people weren't happy about what I had to say. Take a listen. But I got to tell you something. As much as people may have been abhorred by Donald Trump's statement weeks ago, talking about how Black folks, he's hearing that Black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what Black Americans have gone through, he wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. When you see the law enforcement, the court system, and everything else being exercised against him, it is something that Black folks throughout this nation can relate to with some of our historic, iconic figures. We've seen that happen throughout society. So no matter what race, what ethnicity you may emanate from, we relate to you when you're suffering like that because we know we have. And that's what he articulated. Needless to say, people were in a tizzy over that. And why were they in a tizzy over that exactly? Because it's being portrayed and misconstrued that I'm saying that Trump's plight relates to Black people. Well, it's easy to take things out of context, which is why I love having my own platform, so I can remedy and correct some of the foolhardiness that's put out there. First things first, Sean Hannity asked me the question about Trump gaining traction with the Black vote. And how, whether it's a couple of points or 3 points or 4 points, that it could end up tilting the election in his favor that's upcoming this November. Yes, he's the presumptive GOP nominee. Yes, he's on trial for a hush money case to a porn star. Yes, he recently lost a civil suit for $454 million, where he had to pay about $175 million or something like that up front, okay? Yes. The man has had 4 indictments against him, 91 counts against him. Still running, though. Still a presumptive GOP nominee, though. And by the way, as I pointed out, has gained traction and is ahead of the incumbent, President Joe Biden, in at least 5 polls. Not all of the polls, but at least 5 polls have Trump ahead. Now, before I go a bit further, getting into us as Black people, because we know how we can be now, okay? Not all, not some of us, but I'm just talking about some of us from our community. We know how the hell we could be. We're going to have that conversation in just a second. But before I get to that, I love how y'all pick apart me on Hannity. I was on Cuomo on News Nation an hour earlier. I ain't hear nothing about that. I was on MSNBC at least twice over the last month. I ain't hear nothing about that. I was on CNN. Abby Phillips, Laura Coates, several times. I ain't nothing about that. Okay? Oh, Stephen A., contributor to Fox. I'm no contributor to Fox News. I show up on all the networks. I was on Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO. I'm sorry, I ain't hear nothing about that. I've repeatedly said, I think Trump will cause civil war in this country. I can't vote for the brother. Y'all just going to ignore that. Why am I bringing all of this stuff up? Because the second black folks find somebody from our community that doesn't march 100% lockstep with one another, they a sellout. They this, they that. Shut the hell up. Shut the hell up. This is getting ridiculous. Okay? Trump is winning. Y'all just gonna stand still? I'm wrong? When I sit up there and I say, yo, Democrats, all you got is the soon-to-be 82-year-old incumbent? You didn't have anything in the bullpen? I'm wrong for bringing that up. I'm wrong for bringing up why the hell you had Gavin Newsom on Fox News looking like he's running for president instead of Joe Biden being the president or Kamala Harris being the vice president. I'm wrong for bringing that up. I'm wrong for bringing up when I went off about Kamala Harris, our vice president, our HBCU grad from Howard University, a black woman, highly intelligent, former attorney general in the city of San Francisco, former attorney general in the state of California. I was wrong for bringing up how she was wrong to avoid getting into it with then presidential candidate Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, when he wanted to debate her on the good parts of slavery. I was wrong. I was wrong about that. I was wrong to say that's a fight she should have embraced. When y'all gonna wake up? I'm wrong when I'm pointing out how black folks for the first time are talking about the borders being flooded, how illegal immigration ultimately negatively affects us. I'm wrong. I'm wrong in pointing out how xenophobia, homophobia, transphobia has all of a sudden become bigger issues than racism in this country. I mean, damn. How much proof do you need? When I brought up the economy, they say the economy is good. They say the economy is flourishing. You trying to tell me you black and you disagree with me when I say to us, we don't want to hear about the numbers. Oh, the rate, labor participation rate is good. Oh, unemployment is good. Oh, the economy is okay. If gas prices are damn near double what it used to be, if the price of bread, milk, cheese, and eggs and everything in between is double what it used to be, but we ain't getting raises at work. You trying to tell me I was wrong for bringing that up? You trying to tell me I'm wrong when you're sitting up there and you talking about and subjects like immigrants in New York City getting $53 million prepaid credit cards to subsidize their existence in this country, and I'm pointing out how that was never done for black people? I'm wrong. I'm wrong. That's where we really want to go. That's what game we playing. I ain't talking politics. I'm talking life. I don't give a damn that I'm inundated with sports all day, every day. I'm a human being. I'm a black man. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. You don't see this shit happening? I'm supposed to just sit idly by and say nothing? The hell with me talking? Why ain't you talking? Why ain't you screaming to the high heavens? Why aren't you telling liberals on the left, yo, you need to stop with the extreme leftist stuff on the fringes with all of that woke stuff? What sex you are, whether you a male or a female, whether you can be a male but call yourself a female and get to compete against women or girls in various sports. You want those issues to be more prevalent than the stuff going on in our community that directly affects our lives, as opposed to less than 1% of the damn population? What you doing? How come you ain't doing it? How come you ain't raising holy hell? How come you not speaking up? And by the way, to get specific, when I brought up Trump and whatever relation he has with black folks, the question that was asked to me was the supporters of Trump. Why are they doing so? I said, black folks want to be safe in the streets of America. They don't want to see somebody committing crimes, assault or whatever, and getting arrested and being out of jail in the same day. I said black folks want to make money and they want to keep money in their pocket. They want to be safe. That's what I said. And I also said this. I said, yo, our criminal justice system, our courts, law enforcement, that anytime we see anybody that we deem to be an individual being persecuted, where the law is being exercised against them, the heavy hand of the law, do we find that relatable to some degree? Yes. I'm lying about that? Really? Really? I'm lying about that, huh? Didn't happen to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Didn't happen to Malcolm X? Didn't happen to Al Sharpton, damn it. Didn't happen to a plethora of black folks throughout our history. When all else failed, the heavy hand of law enforcement, of the courts, of laws, ultimately rained down upon them. When we talk about recidivism, when we talk about our incarceration rate, don't we sit up there and talk about how we need to get the laws changed because folks are being criminalized for the most innocuous of things? Remember we had those conversations? Didn't we talk about the crime bill in the 90s? When people were being thrown in jail at an exorbitant amount out of our community because of non-violent offenses? Didn't we hear the now president apologize for his role in leading that charge when he was the head of the Senate? Didn't we hear Clinton apologize when his wife was running for the presidency? I'm making this up, dog. I'm making this up. You don't see the parallel? You don't see the connection? Why you think Trump went out there and he said, hey, what were his words? I've been told, those were his words. I've been told, I've heard that some black folks find themselves somewhat relatable to me because of what I'm going through right now. And where would we get that from? You know good and damn well. Georgia case is another matter. On the phone, I need 11,000 votes, 11,700 votes. That's an egregious situation for the president to find himself in. We ain't talking about that. But we ain't talking about the civil case where he lost had a $454 million judgment against him either. You real estate and you manufacture, you're a real estate mogul and you manufacturing numbers. Okay, wow. We know that's going to happen. And you do the crime, you get caught, you got to pay the penance or you got to do the time. But you're the former president of the United States. And your ass is in court where you have to show up each day. Otherwise, you're going to be thrown in jail. And the crime is that you took $130,000 of money and through your lawyer or some other intermediary, you gave it to a porn star for hush money purposes. So he got loose with a porn star. And he didn't want the world to know while he was running for president that he did that. And so he tried to wiggle his way through that. You trying to tell me that America is sitting up there? I'm talking about independents and folks on the right. Of course, people who hate him on the left are going to take that position. But I'm talking about independents and folks on the right. You trying to tell me they think this is a serious matter that requires our time and attention? John Edwards, did he do time? Gary Hart, did he do time? Bill Clinton, they said he got loose in the Oval Office. I heard libertarians losing their damn mind. It was in the Oval Office. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Remember that? But he in court. Instead of being on the campaign trail. You don't think people see through that? They do. All I did was point it out. I am not a fan of Trump being the president. I think he will cause civil war in this country because I don't think he's going to cater to all of the American people. I think he's just going to cater to people who voted for him and who are loyal to him. And the rest of us be damned. That's how I view him. But that doesn't mean I get to close my eyes and be completely oblivious and ignorant to the stuff the Democrats are doing to lose the damn election. I said it before and I say it again. Beat him. Beat him. Get a bullpen. Have some other candidates. Find folks with pizzazz that can talk to the American people and resonate. Don't act. I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm saying from an impression, from a perspective matter, don't act like what you're doing is you want the president to get through the election. And then after that, damn it, God rest his soul, he could end up passing away or something and Kamala Harris can become president that way. No! You want to be president, run for it. Beat him. Show that you can compete. That's what we got to do in anything we do in life. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You want to come at me, feel free. Ain't nobody running, ain't nobody hiding. No, I had nothing to do with sports, don't have nothing to do with politics. It's got everything to do with me. I'm Stephen A., baby. I'm who the hell I am. I ain't here to make friends nor enemies. But I'm going to give you the truth as I see it. Because I'm living in this world. I'm paying taxes. I'm paying bills. I'm living life. I see some of the things that's going on. And I don't agree with everything. I don't agree with a lot of stuff on the right. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't even want to hear from this woman again. Oh my God, how does she have an elected seat? How is she a legislator? How? Make me wonder about some of those folks down there in Georgia. But there's a host of Republicans I would have voted for. I would have voted for John Kasich. I'd have voted for Chris Christie. Without question. I would have voted for Nikki Haley. Yes, I would have. Because I don't like what I'm seeing. But I'm the same dude that voted for Obama. And Gore. And Kerry. And Clinton. Hell, I voted for Dukakis. Come on. At some point, how much can you take? How many years are we supposed to hear Armageddon is arriving? Oh my God, if you vote for this guy, the world is over. We'll never recover. Well, HW was in office, we recovered. W was in office, we recovered. Trump was in office, we recovered. At some point in time, it ain't about how awful the other person is. That shouldn't be your claim to fame. It should be what you bring to the table. I wish I could have played in the NBA. My scrub ass, I just need to find another scrub that's worse than me so I can go out there representing the NBA uniform. That's going to make your eyes more appealing to the product if Stephen A. was playing in the NBA instead of LeBron or somebody. Wake the hell up. Show what you made of. Instead of engaging in fear-mongering and demagoguery to get your way. Win, damn it! Last point. Trump is busting y'all ass. It's what he's doing. He better end up in cuffs. He better end up behind bars. He better end up in a zebra suit. The last thing you want is on election night for Trump to still be the GOP nominee, and it comes down between him and Biden, because what it will mean is that you've been talking all of this stuff, Russian collusion and everything else, all these years, and still couldn't touch him. That ain't Stephen A.'s fault. That's y'all's, because y'all chirped and didn't get it done. I'm not rooting against liberals. I'm not rooting against Democrats. I'm saying you're defeating yourselves, and I'm tired of watching you do it. There's a difference. You're going to quote me on something. Quote me on that. I swear, my boy says it best sometimes. Sometimes. I can't hang with y'all. I just can't.
Time now is 8:39. That was Stephen A. Smith. And hi, John. What do you think?
Hi. Yeah, well, I guess that's in the tradition of tirades, all right. But in essence, I can disagree on a few minor points. Yeah. Like, I don't think Al Sharpton really is a victim of injustice myself.
I agree.
But as a commentator on a news program, and he also, contrived up a story against someone who was innocent. But anyway, besides that, in the main, he's making, I think, valid points, which I think we've made also, is the Democrats are running such a poor campaign.
Yeah.
Poorly conceived, poorly planned, poorly argued, and if they can still limp across the line somehow or another, so be it. I hope they can, because Trump represents such worse elements in the country. I don't think that there'd be a civil war, because civil war requires organizations and planning and arms, weapons, a military, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But anyway, but we can certainly have a chaotic situation where there are gangsterism, decay and people's being violent and crazy, which we
enough. I think this trial is really helping Trump. I mean, I think
and he's right to have someone drawn up on a case. You think of world history, a case in which someone is paying off a porn star in an election.
Yeah,
it doesn't cut the historic mustard
right.
to say this is really
exactly.
A great case, and they've lost every other kind of a thing. They've been disproved on their Russian collusion, and they talked our ears off about that.
Right.
That fizzled. Almost everything they've done has fizzled, and you kind of wonder, where did they plan this? I mean, shouldn't they try to figure out whoever has been giving the Democrats their strategy is inept?
Yeah.
And
I think that, I think they should go for another candidate. I think it's
time.
Oh,
I do too.
They should just gracefully let Biden retire or whatever he's going to do, and just find somebody else. I mean, I think that would really solve things.
They should go into a back room and come out and sit him down with his wife and say, all you have to do is say you're just not up to it physically.
Yeah.
And we can get out of this.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people in politics are also, they're egomaniacs.
Yeah.
And if you have to be forceful with them, you better do it.
Yeah.
And they, all they need is a few big states not to go for them on the first ballot.
Well, speaking of that now, let me hang on the line and let me play for you this next piece, which is that, I guess it broke yesterday, that RFK Jr. has made it on your state's ballot, on the Michigan ballot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In Michigan?
Michigan, yeah.
He's
on the ballot. Let me play that piece,
okay.
And then we'll talk
all
about
right.
it on the other way,
yeah.
on the other
mm-hmm.
way around.
Hey guys, welcome to the Liberal Hive Mind, a channel solely focused on exposing the abundant hypocrisy of the left. Well, after all their anti-democratic efforts, the same people who are constantly going on and on about democracy, ma-democracy this and ma-democracy that, after all their pathetic little attempts to rid the ballot of RFK Jr.'s name in some of the most important states, I mean, just think about it, Democrats took legal action to attempt to stop or bar a legitimate presidential candidate from the ballot in multiple states, starting with Nevada, of course, which we previously covered. Wow, amazing democratic ideals, right? Well, after all their pathetic little anti-democratic attempts, it's culminated in more failure. The end result is they have not succeeded in their task. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. made the ballot in Nevada, as well as many other states. And of course, the next state on the list that we kept talking about, or that we put so much emphasis on, was Michigan. The Rust Belt is the number one focus right now, namely Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. How those states vote is going to steer the direction of the country. It's going to decide who gets to be the next president, whether that's Joe Biden or Donald J. Trump. And while I love to be the bearer of bad news for Democrats, so here it is, RFK Jr. just made the ballot in Michigan. Yep, that's music to my ears. You can hear the echoes of leftist screeches in the background. National polls don't matter anymore. It's now officially a three-way race. No more hypothetical, regardless of how much of a hissy fit the Kennedy family throws, RFK Jr. is officially in this thing. It's legitimate. And so let's take a look at how that impacts things, shall we? We got some stuff to get into, so let's roll the tape. All right, folks. So let's first start off with the news. This is the most important little bit of news in terms of election analysis that's dropped to date.
Presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has officially qualified for the ballot here in Michigan. The Secretary of State says he'll run on the Natural Law Party ticket in the state. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, his family showed up to boost one of his rivals. A dozen members of the Kennedy dynasty took the stage to endorse President Biden for another term. They believe his independent presidential campaign threatens to split the Democratic vote and tip the balance towards Donald Trump. This is the latest in the battle between RFK Jr. and his family over the Kennedy family legacy. His sister Carrie says American rights and freedoms are in jeopardy, and unity is the only thing that can save them. Likely be a close race in November. President Biden won the state in 2020, but President Trump won in 2016. Both decided by less than 1% of the vote. The last poll shows Kennedy with 12% support in the state.
You know, previously we celebrated some other states that RFK Jr. made the ballot, but most of those states aren't really contentious, at least according to the polling data. I mean, you never know what's going to happen on election day. You never know what surprises we're going to be hit with, not only on election day, but in terms of October surprises and whatnot. But as for now, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, they seem pretty safely in the R column, pretty safely in the Trump column, the three states that are most competitive and most hard to predict at this point. The closest races that we're seeing are in the Rust Belt battlegrounds. Well, again, we've been covering these trends. RFK Jr. entering the race changes the dynamic substantially. And of course, we've been analyzing the effects of RFK Jr. entering this race, splitting the vote, and the effect at this point is unanimous. Third-party candidates provide Donald Trump a massive edge in some of the most important, crucial swing states. And now that we got our eyes on Michigan, well, the effect remains obvious. In a five-way race, including independent candidates, Donald Trump leads in every single poll. Take a look here, anywhere from a +2 to a +5 lead, which has remained steady for the past few months. I think Democrats once again shot themselves in the foot, a serious political miscalculation here. You know, they've been going on and on and on about democracy, but when you make yourself look like a huge hypocrite, the blue anon vote blue no matter who people won't question any of it, but the honest people, those who are more on the fence, people who you wouldn't describe as Biden loyals or DNC loyals, well, they notice the clear hypocrisy, the utter dishonesty. You can't talk about democracy and then engage in the most undemocratic actions in recent memory. We gotta save American democracy from the evil orange man. That's all we ever hear. But the only people who seem to be an enemy to democracy are those warning about the imminent threat that democracy faces. And I'm not the only one who notices this. In fact, it's kind of part of RFK Jr.'s messaging campaign. We covered this clip the other day.
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent.
And who do you think that message is for? You think that's for Republicans? No. Donald Trump's support remains stagnant. Nobody's defecting from the Trump camp to go vote for RFK Jr., and if there are some of those people, they're an extreme, extreme, insignificant minority. But on the left-wing side, a lot of people seem to be kind of getting the message, seeing what's going on, and it bothers them. For Pete's sakes, even socialist Cenk Uygur, far-left progressive Cenk Uygur, is now officially going on the record stating that he's openly considering voting for RFK Jr. because of the issue of, you guessed it, democracy, or at least the hypocrisy on the issue.
The headlines are wrong. He didn't say that Biden is definitely a bigger threat. He said he could make an argument for that. And you've got to be careful with that. And you know what the mainstream media loves to do. They love to smear anyone who's an outsider. So boom, they took that as an opportunity to do that. So he's right about that. Number two, he's right to be concerned about Biden being a threat to democracy himself. Maybe not for the reasons that he's stating, but Biden did support anti-democratic movements within the primary. The Democratic Party canceled the election in Florida. They try to keep out every candidate in North Carolina, Tennessee, etc. So they love to rig elections. Yes, I use the word rigged okay? So you can go cry about it if you're mainstream media. How about you do your job and talk about how they canceled the election in Florida in the primary and just declared Biden the winner? So if you're gonna make the argument that you're a champion of democracy, you should probably try it in your own primaries. For the first time today, I'm now considering RFK Jr.
Wow, interesting. Huh?
Well, it's a real mess, but they brought it on themselves. They're not for democracy, but even when it comes to being able to use the word genocide to describe what's going on in Gaza.
Yeah, yeah.
They think opposing genocide means getting rid of the word, and they think the people who are for peace and for a ceasefire, they call that being pro-Palestinian. We need a big anti-war movement. We need a peace movement because these people are spreading wars, and our taxes are going more and more to war stuff.
Yeah.
For no valid reason whatsoever. They're not spreading. If they love democracy so much, how come they can get all footsie and cozy with the sheikhs in the Emirates and Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Not to mention other places. What they do, they support dictators and South America, so yeah. And then they tell us they're all for democracy. So I don't know. The Democrats.
Do you think they'll see the light and sort of make some changes?
Who in their party? They've silenced their people in their party who might speak up. I don't. It's going to take a.
I think Obama could speak up and just.
If he, we don't know what are his principles exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
He might just be like happy to come, be counting his money, and I just don't know. I wonder. I think we're in this for such a horrible patch because our education system, mm-hmm. our healthcare system, everything that the people in general want is being ignored or slighted economically in the country,
right?
And that's another place I agree with what's his name, Stephen A., he's right that in the poorer communities, and not just black, regular working people are getting pushed to the, extreme.
The other thing that happens, putting out the show every day, I scroll the internet a lot, and Biden is just being ridiculed all over the place. I mean, there are people that are channels that are putting out these little, 30-second pieces where, you see him mumbling, and they intercut it with a scene from a movie, and it's really very degrading. And it's just awful that they do that. I mean, and some of them are quite funny, and insightful and all that. But still, he's being ridiculed, and it's just not, it's just not gonna.
A lot of college people and other people are also not going to vote at all, will vote for some other kind of candidate, RFK, a protest vote. They're going to cause a huge protest vote. And what kind of country and how it's going to be administered under a second Trump.
I mean, what are they telling you out in Ann Arbor? I mean, what are the folks on the
the ground? People are so the whole thing over the Gaza.
Yeah.
Naturally, says this has a huge Arab population.
Yeah, yeah.
And they see what's going on, and then the Democrats came over and tried some, tried to play up to them in ways that they found even more insulting.
Really? Yeah.
And insensitive and hypocritical than before.
Yeah.
So they're generating no enthusiasm. The college campus, they're trying to squelch protests on the college campuses and call the kids calling for peace, they just label it pro-Palestinian.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you oppose genocide, it means you're pro-Palestinian.
Right.
It's so absurd. They're playing these big brother games with language.
Right.
And their newspapers are issuing, as we know, the New York Times and others, they've got their own lingo that they're inflicting on the public, and the Madison Avenue type brainwashing campaigns of the public.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they're doing at Columbia, too. Like Columbia, they suspended classes today to sort of try and get things organized. And but it's really a mess. It's really a mess. Crazy.
Yeah. Well,
all right, sir. We'll keep on keeping on.
All right. We'll see you.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was John Woodford. He comes on pretty regularly on the broadcast, and he was we were talking about Stephen A. Smith, who was very outspoken and had a lot to say about what's happening politically, and I think he had some reasonably good advice for black folks and for the Democrats as to what they should really try and do now.
And that's it for this edition of The Last Negroes at Harvard. I'm Kent Garrett, along with John Woodford.